Welcome to the Citizens for Health radio show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Citizens for Health radio show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Citizens for Health provides over 100,000 supporters with consumer news, action alerts, and opportunities to take action. For nearly two decades, Citizens for Health has been a nonprofit pioneer in the natural health freedom movement. The Citizens for Health Education Foundation offers tools to inform the public of health issues and educate and influence policymakers. Jim Turner is here to spread the word about some of the most interesting topics that can affect your world. From the dangers of mislabeled or dangerous products to the questions and concerns of vaccines, you'll want to listen to Jim as he speaks on behalf of Citizens for Health. And now, on to our show with Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Take it away, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us live on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Today is Friday. It's noon Eastern time. Every Friday at noon Eastern time, when Jim Turner is in town and available, or even if he's not in town but available, we do our Citizens for Health radio show. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/citizens, you'll be able to hear this as well as previous radio shows that we've done with Jim Turner, who's been the attorney for Citizens for Health for a really long time, an attorney even before that as well, as he was original Ralph Nader Raider, if you will. So he's been doing this stuff for a really long time, and we love having Jim on our radio show because he brings us up to current events and some of the things that are important probably in your world. And today is November 1st, for those people keeping score, 2019, and for the very first time ever, you guys, I think, are celebrating a World Series victory. So keeping things in perspective, congratulations for Washington, D.C. and their baseball World Series victory. Never been done before, and that's a cool thing and kind of changes some of the atmosphere that might be happening in Washington, D.C., I hope. So on that note, I'm going to kick it off for Jim Turner. Oh, before I forget, make sure you sign up for the newsletter. He's got a great website, citizens.org, CITIZENS.ORG. Sign up for the newsletter so you can get all the great announcements that are happening with Jim Turner's organization, as well as things that are happening probably in your world as well. So, Jim, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Peter. I'm glad to be here. And, yeah, you're right about the World Series champion. It's the biggest thing going on in Washington. There's nothing else even anywhere near how significant it is. People are in the street having a big parade tomorrow. They were out all night on Wednesday. It's a very interesting dynamic. You know, there's these wonderful little statistics that keep showing up, like the owner of the team is 94 years old. He was born 1 year after the last time a Washington team won the World Series.
Wow.
So that's a touch point that they're talking about. And then, of course, there's the fact that the most significant non-pitcher in the Washington team is the third baseman, and he is now a free agent. And one of the big struggles in Washington is, are they going to be able to hang on to him? But it's a very interesting story. I watch them sort of sporadically during the year, just whenever I could, and got to a couple games. But with regard to the postseason, it's just been a phenomenal experience to watch. You know, in its own way, it's kind of like every non-establishment event going on challenging an establishing event, because these Astros are a very powerful team, very interesting, have had a great record in the last 3 years, 4 years. They've won more games than anybody. It's a very interesting whole dynamic, and we've learned a lot about the individuals. See, the city's just going crazy. I have a friend who's got his politics works in Washington. I have a friend who has a classic Packard, 1934 Packard, beautiful, beautiful car. And he's trying to negotiate his way into the parade. So it's very interesting to see how, you know, who do you know that can get me into the parade? So we'll see if he's in the parade or not. The only way I'm going to know is if I watch the parade and see. But anyway, we've got a lot of natural healing, integrative healing stuff going on, too. So we might want to get to talking about some of that.
Absolutely. But I think that I did not watch any of the games because I haven't been a baseball fan for a really long time, only because I'm so busy doing the stuff that I do. And I live in Florida, so we don't really have any professional sports teams, if you know what I mean. So it's hard to follow the losers. But that's sorry, Florida. Sorry. Sorry. I grew up in New York. We had a couple of different sports teams there. It was a little bit different. But having said that, I think it went all the way down to the wire, didn't it? Like the last game.
The last two innings of the last game.
And
okay, so let's talk about it. It's a very interesting situation because they had this very, very unpleasant event in which a very important Washington runner was called out for having gone outside the baselines. It was and they tried to review it, and then big stuff going on, and it was terrible because if the guy had been safe, he would have been on first base, and the other guy that had been on first would be on third base, and they would have two plate people in position to actually score. And but he was called out, so the third base guy had to go to first base, and there they were, and that was everybody thought, wow, that's a terrible setback for the Nationals, the Nats, because here they could have been in a position that their tying run and then their winning run might have gone forward and been successful. And unfortunately, that happened. It was done. But during the period of time that the umpires were trying to figure out what to do, the Astro pitcher was not pitching, and he got kind of cold. At least it appears that way. And the next thing we know, he's gotten a couple of hits against him, and he's taken out of the game. And there's this really interesting subjective question whether the time that he had to not pitch actually interfered with his ability to be successful. Now, that's not being discussed much in the sports pages, but I can tell you in the energetic medicine world, people are sitting around saying, you know, that was as bad as it looked objectively for the Nats. It might very, very well have caused the this all-star pitcher for the Astros to become less in his groove. There's nothing to make hay about there. It's just a very interesting observation, and it was. There was this very controversial play. So that,
yeah, and it's,
you got,
that's,
you got
that's
the high
great
point
thing.
Of the whole thing.
Yeah, that's a great thing because it's probably true, and even if you ask, that's the reason why you warm up. You know, and the whole reality is that's one of those things you can never really prove, but anybody who plays a game probably knows it's true. So there's a lot of parallels we could probably join here for Donald Trump and being inside the baseline or not, and then the whole concept of it going down to the wire and the whole controversy thing and whatever's happening in Washington. But it's kind of great that we can have a lot of fun with sports. And I wish I usually,
yep.
I just didn't watch it only because I just didn't watch it, and I cut TV off
well,
a long time ago.
In Washington these days, we're best at everything, including being best at being the worst team. So we have the Washington Redskins. So however bad your teams might be, or you feel they might be, just understand the Washington Redskins are worse.
Okay,
so
there we
are. We got they've got this spectacular, unbelievable, unparalleled, history-making baseball team. And conversely, we've got a similar history-making team, but for bad purposes. And we've got 20 years of just about the worst football that you could have in Washington after having, you know, a spectacular 90s. And then here we are. So, again, you know, life is very complicated. So here – and then, you know, let's – you know, if you want to – you mentioned the word Trump, so you might – your folks might be interested to know that there is – a process underway that is called impeachment. As I've said many times on a program before, we have my partner, Laurie Chickering, and I put out the Transpartisan Review, and we think that the fundamental constituency of the American political system is a transpartisan one. Number-wise, it's about 70% of the voters that don't identify with either the Democrats or the Republicans. And when I say voters, I'm talking about people who are eligible under the Constitution to vote. About 70% of them avoid being called either Democrats or Republicans. And that group is what you're trying to find out, what they believe and think and so forth when you're looking at elections. I mean, that's what you're trying to find out. Who are these people? generally speaking, we know pretty much what Democrats think. Generally speaking, we know pretty much what Republicans think. And then they work really hard to package it up so it looks like what everybody else thinks. And then the one that's really the best at playing that game ends up becoming in charge of the of forces. So we have this situation now where we it looks like that transpartisan constituency from everything you can look at right now is kind of supporting the impeachment inquiry and even the impeachment of Trump. And they're kind of blasé about what happens in the Senate, believing that most likely the Senate's going to let Trump go and he'll be out running for office. And then the idea is that if you can have a fair election, which is not gamed, that Trump will lose. And that kind of seems to be where the transpartisan dynamic is. And, you know, Trump is working really, really, really hard. His ads are already out now about why he should win. And the Democrats are out there trying to figure out what to say in the context of all the things going on. And that's the, you know, that's the secondary or perhaps third tertiary show, because even though the Redskins are bad, people still have it pretty high on their list of looking at things. But the impeachment in the rest of the country, it appears that the impeachment is not particularly interesting to folks. And then in Washington, it absorbs all the political folks day in and day out, looking at every single nuance. And yeah, we're in for a ride. We'll see how what happens. Now, in that context, we're working very, very hard to advance integrative, natural, energetic healing as one of the parts of the healthcare system. Right now, the drug industry and the people who are in control of the drug industry and they control the drug, they control the basically the scientific information in the health area, and the drug people do, and they control pretty much all of the government agencies, and they're in control of pretty much everything in terms of public policy. And our big argument is there should be a space for things like homeopathy and acupuncture and massage, because all of them are having all of them are being pursued by consumers who want to use them. Those consumers are using them, and they're having good results, and the good results that they're having are relieving some of the pressure on the healthcare system. And so there's a struggle going on. I think basically the system that is what we would call the mainstream system is breaking down. When I say breaking down, I mean the opioid crisis has just really smashed open the whole notion of what drugs are about. We've got the antibiotic overuse problem, which is being touted now by the UN and worldwide, and in the U.S. itself, the healthcare world is saying we've over relied on antibiotics. And then we've got this situation as a part of that, where we've got things like MRSA just running through hospitals, and people are dying not from the reason they went into the hospital, for what they find is contamination in the hospital. In all of those issues, the non-pharmacological healthcare alternatives have an alternative that can actually contribute positively to those kinds of issues. And right at the cutting edge of that world is homeopathy. And that Monday, you know, in 3 days, the Americans for Homeopathy Choice, which we've talked about on this program several times, is going to be meeting with the chief regulators at the FDA about how to deal with homeopathy. And we are being encouraged that they do not want to harm homeopathy, but they also say they want to make sure homeopathy doesn't harm any consumers. And we are laying out ways that we believe that can be done. First and foremost, the FDA is concerned about products labeled as homeopathic products, the drug products labeled as homeopathic. And they've issued their second guidance on that just this past week. They issued their second guidance saying they want to control products labeled as homeopathic. And we are totally for making sure that all products labeled homeopathic are homeopathic. We are saying to the FDA, to the extent that that's what they want to do, we support it 100%. On the other hand, when they write about it, they don't write about products labeled as homeopathic. They write it homeopathic products. And the result of that linguistic slip, which is either intentional or could just be inadvertent, but that linguistic twist, they are putting in play the notion that homeopathic medicine should be regulated differently than pharmaceutical products. We're saying none of them should have a name that says they are something that they aren't, including homeopathy. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, they cite several examples of things where they say products labeled as homeopathic have caused harm, and if they had been properly labeled, then people would not have, you would not, if they were properly labeled, you would not be able to say these products that harm people were homeopathic. And when you look at how they harmed people, they were manufacturing errors. They did not manufacture the product in accordance with the principles of homeopathy. So they shouldn't have been homeopathic, first of all. And then secondly, since they were manufactured improperly, they were not homeopathic. So there we are with an interesting situation that the FDA seems to be open to discussing. We have a very good team of people, including a couple of lawyers, doctors, and then the consumer people that are the leaders of the group, saying to the FDA, we want to support you in ensuring that homeopathic remedies are labeled properly, manufactured properly, and that the consumer, and we want you to help us be sure that consumers have total access to all homeopathic products. And the FDA side is saying, all right, that's something we can talk about. So that's where we are. There's an interesting wrinkle in all of this that I think you guys should know, you, Peter, and the audience, and that is that the FDA is undertaking all of these efforts in the homeopathic world through what they call a guidance. And they're very clear and upfront that a guidance is not law. It does not confer any authority on the FDA. It does not confer any rights or even responsibilities on anybody who is affected by the food and drug law. It is just an opinion that the FDA says, and its practical implication is that FDA inspectors will inspect in accordance with this guidance. Outside of that, there's no importance to what they're saying. And they're very clear that if you do not agree with their opinion, you can come in and talk to them, and maybe they'll be persuaded by your arguments, and they say this basically to the industry because it's a guidance to the FDA staff and industry. If an industry comes in and talks to the FDA and says, here's the way we want to do it, they're very clear that they might very well say, okay, you can do it that way. And what we're saying to the FDA is we want to have the same kind of access for a discussion with the FDA about our ability to talk with the FDA on an ongoing basis about how to regulate homeopathy. So we're doing that. Now, one more interesting wrinkle, and that is that at the very week that this particular guidance came out, and the very week that Trump was being harangued about impeachment and haranguing back, you know, the political guys are haranguing each other about impeach or not to impeach, Trump issued an executive order basically criticizing the federal agencies for regulating by using guidances, and specifically went down one after another of the abuses that using a guidance creates. Because when the agency puts a guidance out, then the industries follow the guidance, even though the guidance is not the law. But the industries like to be comfortable. They like to know that they're not going to be attacked by the agencies. So if the agencies say, look, it's not the law, we're not bound by it, you're not bound by it, you can do whatever you want. If you think it's right, that's fine. But understand, when our inspectors come to your space, they're going to do what our guidance says. And the industries all across the board say, okay, we'll buckle under to your guidance. But the consumers in general, and our consumer group in particular, is saying, listen, why is it in the consumer interest to have the government and the industry agree to take a specific remedy off the market, even though the industry believes it's safe, has not caused any harm, and that the evidence that the consumers see says it doesn't cause any harm, and it's very useful? why should the industry and the government agree to take it off the market? So that's the point we want to put in before the FDA, and that is the point that's in Trump's guidance. So here you have a situation where there's a guy being, they're moving toward impeaching and kicking out of office. Very unlikely to happen, in my opinion, that he will be impeached. That's what the grand jury does when it says we think there's enough evidence here to bring a charge. And by the way, the standard there is essentially more than a scintilla of evidence. If there's more than a scintilla of evidence, a grand jury can issue an indictment, and then the indictment becomes the grounds on which the criminal trial is tried. So I think that there's very little doubt that Trump will be impeached, that is, indicted. I think there is a little more possibility that he would be found guilty by the Senate. There, according to the media, there are more than 20 Republican senators who, off the record, say they think Trump should not be in office. But the constituents back in the home districts, in the home states, the constituents are saying we aren't that interested in what's going on there. And as far as we're concerned, it's just a bunch of old boy politics on both sides. You guys sort it out. But we're not going to be very happy if we're not happy with what happens. We're going to take it out on you guys that are the senators. And we're not very happy at this point about kicking a president out, whoever he might be, by having the Senate vote to kick him out. We're not too happy about that. So the senators are sitting there saying, well, if we vote for kicking him out of office, we might lose the elections in our state. And so I think it's very unlikely that you will have 20 Republican senators voting against Trump. So that means there'll be a big election in which the Trump strategy will be on display, and whatever the alternative strategy is will be on display, and then we'll have a knockdown dragout about that, and we'll see who wins. But in the midst of all of that, here's Trump saying the way that you're running the regulatory agencies is undermining the citizens' rights. And that's the point we're making in our argument with the FDA. You can't manage homeopathy off of guidance. It's too important. It's an answer to help you solve the opioid problem, to help you solve the antibiotic problem, to help you solve MRSA in the hospital problem, and many others. We put 20 scientific papers in to say, look, homeopathy can help you solve these problems. But you've got a guidance that's out there that's going to say, look, industry, why don't you and I get together, we and the FDA, you know, the FDA and you industry guys, and we'll just pick which one of these things we should get rid of. And there's absolutely no reason why anything should be gotten rid of because it's homeopathic. Yes, things should be gotten rid of if they're called homeopathic and they aren't homeopathic. Yes, get rid of them. Yes, things that are manufactured improperly, whether they're homeopathic or not, properly labeled or not, if they are not manufactured properly, they should be gotten rid of. But things that are mislabeled and things that are not manufactured properly are not either yes or no homeopathic. They could be not homeopathic and be badly labeled and manufactured. They could be homeopathic and badly labeled and manufactured. Go after them. But just because something is called homeopathy does not mean it has a special category that the FDA should single out. I mean, that's like singling out aspirin. You don't single out aspirin per se. If you're an aspirin and you're called an aspirin and you meet the criteria of an aspirin, then you're on the market as an aspirin as long as you're called an aspirin, as long as you're manufactured properly. If you don't do those things, you're taken off the market. The FDA was supposed to create a specific FDA category like that called homeopathy, but they were too busy. They've said that in their own stuff. We're too busy. We haven't gotten around to it. We aren't able to. We don't know exactly how we would do it. It's too small a market for us to worry about, and so on. And so the millions of people who use homeopathy, it's the second largest non-pharmaceutical approach to health in the world. The people who use it are just given the back of the hand by the regulators and the industry combined. The industry is basically held at gunpoint. You know, do it our way, the FDA says, or we'll put you out of business. And we get very sympathetic to that. We are very supportive of the industry saying, no, we don't want to do that. And we know that they're a tough bind when they have to say, well, you know, give up this thing or we'll get rid of you. It's like there was once a cover to the Lampoon magazine that that said, it was a guy holding a dog with a gun, said, you know, buy my magazine or I'll kill this dog. I mean, that's basically the way the FDA is treating homeopathy, the companies that they regulate on homeopathy. So anyway, all of that's going on right in the middle of the impeachment. Trump comes out with an argument against the way FDA is handling homeopathy, and even it was for all the guidances for all regulatory agencies. And, you know, so you sit there and you say, well, you know, some forces that are deep in the society are actually moving in the right direction. And Trump is the guy that's on the top of that. And, you know, we'll see how the impeachment stuff goes. But in the meantime, we're going to work very, very hard to get this guidance reorganized and made properly. Peter, I babbled on for the whole half hour. What do you think about that?
It was great information, great information. And I don't know a lot of things because I don't follow a lot of these things. But from what I've heard, Donald Trump does a lot of things behind the scenes that I think a lot of people would find surprising. If his name wasn't attached to it, they'd take credit for it. So one of them is the thing that you just mentioned. Another one that I heard recently is President Obama allowed the sale of a port in California to be owned, like a major port to be owned by a Chinese company. So a Chinese company owns one of the major ports over in California, and Donald Trump basically said, nope, that ain't going to happen, and basically given that back to the United States. So, you know, having an open door, if you will, like a port for the Chinese to be able to import whatever there is that they might be importing, is kind of scary. So Trump is, you know, pro-America. He's doing, in my opinion, a lot of the right things. I don't know that much about all of the statements that I just mentioned. Otherwise, I might tell you I knew a lot about those statements. But I've seen a lot of things behind the scenes where Donald Trump is really fulfilling a lot of the campaign promises that he mentioned. And that might be politically not correct to say, but if he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Now, well, my view on that is that these underlying forces continue to operate no matter who is the president. And the underlying forces move in the direction that they're going to move because of things like population, demographics, geography, finances, and so forth. And they move in those forces. And the president of the United States or the head of China or Johnson in England and so on find it they learn that they are not in charge of the forces that drive the world as much as they believe. And some of them, in the case of Trump, for example, who was not in politics before, are really shocked to find out how little control they have over what's really going on. But the forces keep on working underneath them. And like you say, there are things that would be done that Donald Trump's name will go on and people will oppose just because his name's on it. But if Obama's name's went on it, they would go for it. For example, there are between 6 and 9 million people in this country who voted twice for Obama and then voted for Trump. 6 to 9 million people. The election's actual number that caused the election to shift was 300,000. So what's the story with those 6 to 9 million people? That's our point about the transpartisan constituency. And whoever the president is, Obama, Trump, Clinton, Bush, whoever they are, they're on top of something that is undulating and maneuvering and generating all kinds of stuff. And whoever's involved at the time, it's called their policy or their activity. But I'm not saying the same things would happen. What I'm saying is those same forces would work, but they might come out differently. But the forces would be driving things. And so you'd find things that you would really like that'll have all those four names on it. And you'll find things that you hate that'll have those four names on it. And that's transpartisan.
Excellent information. Now, I'm going to come back to homeopathy because there's a few companies. We have a big home-based business network marketing audience, so a lot of them are into natural cures and natural things, alternative medicine, and some of them are really promoting some homeopathy-type products. And so the things that you mentioned about homeopathy and regulations and all that sort of stuff may affect your world. So if you're listening in, check out more of this on citizens.org, that's CITIZENS.ORG. And if you are here and you're part of that
also,
group.
Also, Peter, also on homeopathy, check Americans for Homeopathy Choice. You had the president on one of your shows, and they're very vibrant, very good. And all the information I told you there about homeopathy is on Americans for Homeopathy Choice. Citizens for Health is a primary ally with Americans for Homeopathy Choice, and we're working diligently together. Their website has more information than our website.
Excellent. And we did, like you said, we did a radio show on that as well. Was that with the one with Paul?
Paula Brown, yes.
Paula Brown, okay. And Paul is spelled P-A, the reason why I'm pausing, it's P-A-O-L-A, I believe, Brown.
Yes, it's so Paula, actually. Paula.
Yeah, so it's a the Latino, if you will, accent, if I said it the right
Portuguese,
way.
Portuguese, I think.
Portuguese, there we go. So it's really great information. She did a wonderful job, and this is a whole bunch of moms. So those people listening in, this is a whole bunch of moms that are rallying and doing the right thing as far as homeopathy. But it's amazing. But I just had to tie that into this show because there's a lot of people in a home-based business. One of them is promoting a homeopathy human growth hormone. And that company is growing like crazy, whether it's growing because of the product or whatever, or the recruiting, whatever, who knows. But they can be affected by things like this as a result of the rulings that you're referencing right now. So you're always worried about the FTC and medical claims and income claims, and now you have the FDA coming along based on those things as well. So, Jim, I'll give you as much time as you want. We'll be in overtime if we do this, but I'll give you as much time as you want if you have anything else you want to introduce.
Well, let me just say, I think that's enough for today, but I will tease your audience for our next few programs because we've got a situation where animal chiropractors treat animals with chiropractic methods, and both the veterinary and chiropractic worlds are trying to say they shouldn't be allowed to do that. And what would happen if that occurred is there would be no legal way for chiropractors to treat animals. We're winning that battle around the country. It's now going on in Pennsylvania. There'll be another round there. In addition to that, there's a whole effort to a nationwide effort run by the FDA to tramp down on natural pet foods. That battle's underway. And there are many others. And it's a very interesting time in the world because I think that the traditional so-called mainstream, let's call it the contemporary mainstream pharmaceutical mechanistic healthcare system, is breaking down. And we're arguing from our perspective at Citizens for Health and with our allies, and there are many of those, we're arguing that the natural integrative health approach, which is fundamentally an energetic approach and does not rely on chemicals as the primary way of treating people, that particular way of approaching our health, our whole health picture, has a role to play, and it should be allowed for individuals to choose. And as individuals choose that and learn that, it will take, and it is taking, an ever-increasing role in the healthcare world. And then things like antibiotics will be put back into the balance that they're supposed to be in, which is they are an extremely important, highly valuable intervention at a certain point in an unfolding of a disease. If you're at 103 or 104 temperature, you want an antibiotic to help save you if it's coming from, if it's a biological problem that can be treated by antibiotics. You want that. You do not want to use an antibiotic to lower your temperature from 99 to normal. That's an anti-health activity, and yet that's going on across the country and around the world. So we're saying that the natural integrative healing approach will reorganizes for the individual and for the society, reorganizes our healthcare options so that they can play their balanced role. Under our current system, drug is the only answer, and what you're getting from that is problem. Drugs for pain. Opioids, and 70,000 people a year in this country are dying from opioid overdoses. Solve the problems of infections with antibiotics, and we now have an antibiotic overuse across the world, and it's creating diseases like MRSA. And that's these antibiotic responses, responses to the overuse of antibiotics are serious problems. And as I'm saying, homeopathy is a cutting edge to change that. We want to talk about all of these things going forward. And we've got the same problem in The processed pet food industry is trying to put out of business the not processed pet food industry. And the processed pet food industry is creating the same kind of health havoc on animals that the processed food industry is creating on human beings. And we're in court with some, our law firm, and we're in court with others to stop the FDA from doing that. We'll see what happens. And these are battles. And rather than having a shooting war revolution with people out in the streets with guns, what we've got going on is an actual conceptual revolution trying to create broader space for individuals to make choices for their own well-being that will collectively create better health for the community. That's what we're pushing as being an essential part of the healthcare system. And it's happening across the board. We'll talk about some of those other issues in the next shows.
Excellent information. I mean, geez, we could have you here like a marathon if we wanted to, because I'd also want your opinion one of these days on what's going on with the vaping, you know, with this whole concept of that as well. So we have a lot of things to talk about. We could use your time. Anyway, so we're going to call it a call. Go to citizens.org, sign up for the newsletter, check out those other web pages that we were referencing a little bit earlier. Some people might have finally grabbed a pen. So give me the homeopathy one more time, please.
It's Americans for Homeopathy Choice.
Americans for Homeopathy
Choice. I'll say it one more time.
Americans
for Homeopathy Choice.
Got it. Perfect. We're going to catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. Thanks, Jim. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks a lot, Peter. I look forward to next week. Thanks. Bye.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to the Citizens for Health Radio Show, brought to you by Citizens for Health on buildingfortunesradio.com with Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Thanks for listening. For nearly two decades, Citizens for Health has been a nonprofit pioneer in the natural health freedom movement. Go to www.citizens.org to learn more and always listen in to Building Fortunes Radio, where our special host, Jim Turner, shares crucial information about many of the most important issues that affect your world. Citizens for Health provides over 100,000 supporters with consumer news, action alerts, and opportunities to take action. So listen in, get involved, and help spread the word. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more Citizens for Health segments with Jim Turner and Peter Mingle. And read about what's new on www.citizens.org. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Jim Turner, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to go spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.